الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to begin inshallah this class that we have been dealing with on Salah and Tahara, and we've already began on the Tahara class this evening inshallah. We'll begin on the Salah, and as we mentioned, these classes inshallah ta'ala will be not from the point of any madhab, but from the point of what is considered the strongest of opinion, that which is closest to the Quran and the authentic sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As for the way that this particular book begins on the section of Kitab al-Salah, on the Book of Salah, and the very first section in this portion of the book on Salah begins with the Adhan and the times of the Salah. And the name of this book is Al-Munakhalat al-Nunniyya, which is by Sheikh Murad Shukri. It is a book that is designed as a primer for fiqh, and it begins with the Book of Tahara and it ends with the Book of Al-Shahadat inshaAllah. The first section where the Shaykh begins this particular topic of Salah, specifically about the Adhan and the Muazzin and the times of the Salah, he says, as for the description of the Muazzin, he said that there's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which is sahih, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and also At-Tirmidhi radiallahu anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imamu Dhamin wal-Mu'adhinu Mu'taman, that the Imam is the guarantor, and the Mu'adhin is entrusted. And he says that the opinion, that the strongest of opinions is that the Iqama and the Adhan are obligatory. And this is the opinion of Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, and others. And this is based on the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith radiallahu anhu, who was collected by Imam al-Bukhari, which says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَأَذِّنَا وَأَقِيمَا that when the Salah is established, then you should call the Adhan, you should call the Iqamah. And from this statement, these two Imams, Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik, have the opinion that calling the Adhan and calling the Iqamah is wajib. Likewise, there's the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, where he said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا غَذَى بِنَا قَوْمًا لم يكن يغزو بنا حتى يصبح وينظر فإن سمع أذانا كف عنهم وإن لم يسمع أذانا أغار عليهم. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go out with us in an expedition to attack some people, he did not attack them until the morning came. And then what they used to, like, wait and listen. If they heard the Adhan, they would refrain from attacking them. And if they didn't hear the Adhan, then they were attacked. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. And likewise, one of the proofs that the Adhan by these illustrious Imams Ahmad and Imam Malik, that the Adhan and Iqamah is a wajib, is the mudawama of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Adhan and Iqamah, meaning that he always did it. He constantly called the Adhan, always. And we have other narrations that's collected by other Ashab of the Sunan. And also Imam al-Nabawi brings a variety of those hadith in Riyad al-Salihin, which proves that the Adhan and the Iqamah is our wajib, to the point that when you wake up late, you've missed the Salat al-Fajr, or you've missed the Salat al-Dhuhr, or the Asr, or the Maghrib, or Isha, that some are of the opinion that you should still call the Adhan, even though the Adhan was already called, and then you should make the Salah after the Iqamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the next section, which is the times of the prayer, concerning the times of the prayer, we have a number of hadith. And those particular hadith, the scholars of Islam has chosen from among them the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu in the Sahih of Muslim, where he says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتاه سائل يسأله عن مواقيت الصلاة فلم يرد عليه شيئا قال فأقام الفجر حين انشق الفجر والناس لا يكاد يعرف بعضهم بعضا ثم أمره فأقام بالظهر حين زالت الشمس وهو قائل يقول قد انتصف النهار وهو كان عالم منهم ثم أمره فأقام بالعصر والشمس مرتفعة ثم أمره فأقام بالمغرب حين وقعت الشمس ثم أمره فأقام العشاء حين غاب الشفق ثم أخر الفجر من الغد حتى انصرف منها والقائل يقول قد طعلت الشمس أو كادت ثم أخر الظهر حتى كان قريبا من وقت العصر بالأمس ثم أخر العصر حتى انصرف منها والقائل يقول قد احمرت الشمس ثم أخر المغرب حتى كان عند سقوط الشفق وأخر العشاء حتى كان ثلث الليل الأول ثم أصبح فدعا السائل فقال الوقت ما بين هذين. That the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was confronted by a person asking the question about the times of Salah. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't reply when the person asked about the times of Salah. Then he said that the time of Fajr came, and that time of Fajr, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the time of Fajr comes, when the redness of the Fajr has appeared, and shaqqa al-Fajr, when redness, in other words, when Fajr has just, not the redness, excuse me, but when Fajr has just begun. And the people, at that particular time, didn't even recognize each other. لا يكادوا يعرفوا بعضهم بعضا. It was so early in the time of Fajr, the hadith says, they didn't even recognize each other. That's how dark it was. Because of course, we know, in those days, they didn't have any street lights like we do. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amarahu, he ordered him, meaning he gave him information on what to do at that particular time. Then the time of Dhuhr came, and when the sun was at its highest point in the sky, and the person said that the sun is in the midpoint of the sky, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more knowledgeable of that particular situation than the person who asked. Then he ordered him to do make the prayer at that particular time, telling him that is the time of the prayer. Then Asr came when the sun was high in the sky. Then he ordered him to do that. Then the Maghrib came when the sun had just appeared, set. Then he ordered him to pray at that time. Then the time of Isha came when the sun had just disappeared into the shafaq, which means the sun had completely gone away, the redness was just about leaving, and the Isha had come in. Then the next time, the Prophet ﷺ delayed the Fajr until right before the morning. Right before the morning. Right before the morning when it's about to set. And the questioner said, the sun has risen or is just about to rise. The sun is just about to rise or it has just at the verge of rising. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delayed the dhuhr until it was very close to the time of asr, to the time of the asr of the day before when they had prayed it at a different time. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delayed the asr until the sun was just about to set, until the sun became red. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delayed the maghrib until the redness was about to appear. Then he delayed the Isha until the first part of the third of the night. The first of the three thirds of the night. You have the first third, the second third, and the last third. Then it became morning time. And then the questioner made dua. He called out saying that the time of the Salah is between the two times. And we know this hadith in another version is a hadith, the same as hadith of Jibreel. And that Jibreel is the one who was teaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about these times, and the Prophet was the one who was asking the question about these particular times. Now for the details. As for the Salatul Fajr, the time of the Salatul Fajr is when the sun has just risen, what they call Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. And it remains until the sun hits what they call its bow. It's when it's just about to come, when you can see the top part of the sun coming up from the horizon. It goes from that part, from the time Fajr comes in, the very early part of Fajr, until the sun, you see it, if you look at the horizon, when it comes right above, when it's just about to come up, you see the rays of it in the top part of the sun. This is the time of the Fajr. And there needs to be, this needs to be clarified, because there are two periods of Fajr. One is called the Al-Fajr al-Kazib, and the other one is called Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. Al-Fajr al-Kazib is the, what they call the false Fajr. And Al-Fajr al-Sadiq is the true Fajr. The Fajr al-Kazib is the time in which there are no sunnahs for Fajr performed. And this is the time of which the Adhan is called with As-Salatu Khayrun Min An-Nawm. What they call the Tasweeb. At-Tasweeb. As-Salatu Khayrun Min An-Nawm is called on that type of, that period of Fajr, which is not the real Fajr, not the true Fajr, it's the false Fajr. And then approximately 15 minutes later, Al-Fajr al-Sadiq appears, which is the true Fajr, and the Adhan is called again without At-Tasweeb, As-Salatu Khayrun Min An-Nawm. And then the two raka'ah of Fajr, Sunnah, are performed, and then the Iqam is called, and then there is the Fajr prayer. As for the Dhuhr, as the Shaykh says, the beginning of the Dhuhr is when the sun has just declined, when it's the first part of the zenith of the sun, until the measurement of the thing, or the shadow of the thing, is equal to it. And this is the opinion of the majority of the four imams. حَتَّى مَصِيرُ ظِلِّ الشَّيْءِ مِثْلُهُ, until the object that you see casts a shadow which is equal to the distance of that thing that the shadow is cast. I mean, the thing is cast, the shadow. As for Asr, the first part of the Asr is at the end of Dhuhr. And the end of Dhuhr is when the sun becomes yellow, bright yellow. And there are some narrations that mention the Salah, no Salah after Salah to Asr, and we're going to come to that inshaAllah. as for the time of Maghrib, according to Sheikh Murad Shukri, Habibullah, the time of Maghrib, which is the most authentic version of these narrations and the most authentic agreed upon time of Maghrib, begins when the sun immediately sets and it lasts until Ghurub al-Shafaq al-Ahmar al-Haq. It ends when the redness of the sky, when the last part of the redness of the sky disappears, and this is the opinion of Imam Ahmad. This is the opinion of Imam Ahmad. As for Isha, Salatul Isha, the beginning of its time is at the end of that redness of Maghrib, Ghurub al-Shafaq al-Ahmar, and then when it disappears. The end of the time of Isha is midnight. The end of the time of Isha is midnight. Because of the authenticity of the hadith pertaining to this, and there are a number of statements from the Sahaba about this particular time. And a number of statements from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now, you represent whatever people consider midnight. Whatever the people consider midnight. Whatever the people in Alaska consider midnight is midnight. Whatever people in China consider midnight is midnight. Whatever people in the United States of America, in New York, or Texas consider midnight, that's midnight. Now. Yeah, the al-fajr al-kazib with the adhan at that time is an indication that you should begin to stop. When you hear the adhan with as-salatu khayr min an-nawm, what it's called a tatweeb, that's an indication for three individuals. Three individuals. Number one, those people who are doing whatever they're doing, that what they would not be able to do when they're fasting in the daylight hours. Whatever that might be, they should begin to stop. In other words, if they're eating or drinking, they should get ready to stop. If they're having intimate relationship with their wife or their husband, they should begin to stop. The second category of people are the people who are making qiyam al-layl. They should begin to stop when they hear the tatweeb. And the third type of individual is the person who's not doing any of the two, they're sleeping. They should wake up and begin to get ready for the time of as-sadiq, al-fajr al-sadiq, which is the true fajr, so they'll be able to catch the 2 raka'ah of sunnah, the fajr, and then go to the masjid if they're men, and if they're not, stay at home for the women, pray the fajr prayer. Now, we mentioned it. Right. About approximately 15 minutes. I didn't say that. No, I didn't say 12 o'clock. I said midnight. Not necessarily. 12 o'clock doesn't necessarily mean it's midnight. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Whatever the people, meaning the people of knowledge, consider to be midnight, that may not be 12 o'clock. No.
From the people of knowledge,
it's difficult to tell because summer is different from winter. Spring is different from fall. I could not say that 12 o'clock is going to be midnight all the time.
It's impossible. It's not going to be midnight.
So whatever the people of knowledge deem as midnight at that time, wherever they may live, that's midnight. We need to check with our local scholars to find out what is midnight. Right? Like right now, Maghrib came in at 4:29. Isha comes in at 6:04. Isha comes in at 6:04, which is a little bit of more than an hour and 32 minutes after Maghrib ends. Or after Maghrib came in. Right? Now, midnight is exactly from the time that Isha comes in today, 6:04, midnight, according to the average person, is 12 a.m., which is 5 hours and 56 minutes away from the time Isha comes in. Isha comes in at 6:04. Right? And midnight is considered 12 o'clock a.m. So from the time Isha comes in to the time we consider midnight here, the layman considers midnight here, is exactly 5 hours and 56 minutes. Right? Can we actually consider from the time Isha comes in 5 hours and 56 minutes after that, midnight? I don't know. It may be more than that, maybe 7 hours. Maybe 1 o'clock, maybe 8, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Or it might be 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock might be midnight. Allah knows best. I don't know. We have to ask the people of knowledge.
Inshallah. It's time for us. I don't know.
Allah wa salatu wa salamu wa rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. I'd like to continue, inshallah. Now, we left off before the Salah talking about the time of Isha. And we mentioned that the time of Al-Isha is from the time that the sun, the redness of the sky, the red, when the sun sets completely and the redness of the sky disappears. And the end of the time of Salatul Isha is Nisful Layl. Is Nisful Layl. And there's a number of hadith, the evidence for this. As for the time of the Salatul Isha, which is they call Al Isha ul Idtirari, Idtirari, which is the time of which the person has a valid excuse and it becomes a necessity to pray. They were compelled to pray. That particular time, what they call, some people might call it waqt al-durura. Waqt al-durura. This is the time where it extends up into al-fajr. But this is not, I repeat, this is not the time of Isha. This is not the end of Isha, which many people think this is the time, the end of Isha. In other words, to make a long story short, each of the prayers beginning is the end of the other except for Fajr and Isha. One prayer's beginning is the end of the other one except for Fajr and Isha. That's the way you would understand the beginning and the end of the prayer. The beginning, the end of Dhuhr is the beginning of Asr. The end of Asr is the beginning of Maghrib. The beginning of Isha is the end of Maghrib, and the beginning of the end of Isha is the midnight, the midtime of night. The end of Isha is the end, is the mid part of night. If there is a valid excuse and the person is compelled, he or she didn't have any other way out, then they can pray. They have up until al-Fajr, and this is evidenced by hadith from Abu Qutada radiallahu anhu in the Sahih of Muslim, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا تَفْرِيطُ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ يُصَلِّ صَلَاةَ حَتَّى يَجِيءُ وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى. That negligence is on the one who didn't make the salah until the time of the other salah came. That's negligence. That's what the Prophet called it, تَفْرِيطُ. تفريط, because we have إفراط and تفريط. تفريط is negligence. إفراط is extremism, going over the bounds, one of the opposite of the other. And this is the statement and the opinion of Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi'i, and others. Imam Malik and Imam al-Shafi'i, that the time of compulsion for Isha is up until Fajr. So this is in brief, this is a summarized explanation of the time of the Salah. The time of the Salah. وَاللَّهُ الْمُوَفَّقْ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who knows what is the truth. There was one point we wanted to make. As for the prayers after Asr, we have the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, "La salata ba'da salati al-Asr." There's no prayer after salat al-Asr. There's no prayer after salat al-Asr. This narration from the Prophet, which is authentic, does not mean that there's no prayer after Asr. In almost every single book in English, and many of the books in Arabic, and many of the madhabs, you'll find them saying that there's no prayer after Asr. In fact, when you see some of these books in English, you see them have charts. They call them a chart, jadwal. They call them a chart. And they'll show you Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And they'll have Fajr, the Fard prayer, two rak'ah before, none after. Dhuhr, two rak'ah before, four after. Asr, none before, four before, none after Asr. Maghrib, two or six after Maghrib. And Isha, four before and two after. You usually say it like this. This is not true. This explanation on this top, these types of charts, is not the total truth. There's truth in it, but it's not complete. In actuality, the charts, for those who go by those charts, it should be as follows. Fajr prayer. Two rak'ah before, sunnah, none after. Dhuhr. Two rak'ah before, or four rak'ah before. Two rak'ah after, or four rak'ah after. Asr prayer. Two rak'ah before or four rak'ah before. After Asr, two rak'ah. And we'll give the explanation on it, inshallah. After Asr, two rak'ah. It's from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. As for Maghrib, two rak'ah before Maghrib, after the Adhan of Maghrib is called. Two rak'ah before Maghrib, after the Adhan of Maghrib is called. Two rak'ah after Maghrib, or six rak'ah. Isha, two rak'ah before, or four rak'ah before. Two rak'ah after, or four rak'ah after, and then witr. And then also, as we'll come to inshallah, in maybe a few weeks, also there's two rak'ah after witr. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make witr your last prayer. But there is proof that there is two rak'ah that can be performed after witr. As for the Asr prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La salata ba'da salat al-Asr." This hadith is authentic, muttafaqun ala sihhatihi. It's agreed on its authenticity. But there's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There's no salah after salat al-Asr until the sun is high in the sky and white, or not until unless." The sun is high in the sky and it's white. حَتَّى أَن تَكُونَ الشَّمْسُ مُرْتَفِعَةً بَيْضَاءً نَقِيَّةً One narration says. There's no salah at the salat of Asr unless the sun is high in the sky, مُرْتَفِعَةً نَقِيَّةً meaning high in the sky and it's بَيْضَاءً and it's white. Which means what? Which means that any of the obligatory prayers where they involve the prohibited times, and there are three prohibited times, of which we'll come to inshallah, including Asr in one of the three prohibited times, that anyone who doesn't have a need to make two rak'ah or four rak'ah or whatever, after those prayers of which is normally believed to be haram to pray, if a person doesn't have a need, then the hadith that talks about the prohibited times of prayer and the hadith with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically talking about Asr, we say there's no salat after salat al-Asr, those hadith are not implemented. But if there's a need to pray after Asr or after Fajr or when the sun is at its highest point in the sky, or when the sun is rising, or when the sun is setting, then the salah not only becomes permissible, it becomes wajib in some cases for the person to pray, even when shaitan is praying, even when it's prohibited to pray. And that hadith is a proof within itself. For instance, Salatul Istikhara. Salatul Istikhara. Right? Someone just got a telephone call that they have to travel somewhere immediately. Someone has sent them the money to travel. It's a very important trip. And it's after Asr. Can the person pray or not? Salatul Istikhara. Can he pray? No, not according to what I said, according to the message of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the person walks into the masjid and Fajr has already been prayed, and they prayed at another place, they prayed Fajr in congregation at another masjid, and they prayed earlier in that masjid. They walk into the masjid, the imam in that masjid has finished praying Fajr, and they're just sitting there making zikr, making dua, reading the book of Allah, they're hearing some instructions from the book of Allah or the sunnah. That person wants to sit and listen to the tarawih. What does he or she do? They make two rak'ah, even though it's in the prohibited time. Even though it's in the prohibited time. The person wakes up. He or she wakes up. They've fallen asleep. And they've missed Asr. And the sun is setting right now. The sun is setting. And they miss Asr. What do they do? They pray the Asr right then, and they don't delay it. These are things of necessity. And in that particular time, it is permissible and sometimes obligatory to make those prayers. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'lam. Okay. As for combining the prayers and making qada in the prayers, as for combining, making al-jam'r بين الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء من الحرج, as for combining the ظهر and the عصر and the مغرب and the عشاء out of need, because it may be some difficulty on you, like you have al-marad, the person is sick, or al-matr, because it's raining real hard and they can't make it to the masjid, فإن ذلك, the Shaykh says, الجائز. فإن ذلك جائز. It's permissible. And we have an authentic hadith that is confirmed to be authentic in the Sahih of Muslim from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, where he said, خطبنا ابن عباس بالبصرة يوما بعد العصر حتى غربت الشمس وبدت النجوم وجعل الناس يقولون الصلاة الصلاة. فجاءه رجل من بني تميم لا يفخر ولا ينثني الصلاة الصلاة. فقال ابن عباس أتعلمني بالسنة؟ لا أم لك. ثم قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع بين الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء. قال عبد الله بن الشقيق فحاك في صدري من ذلك شيء. فأتيت أبا هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه فسألته فصدق مقالته. عبد الله ibn Shaqiq radiallahu anhu, who's the narrator of this hadith, and as the scholars of hadith say, that the person who narrates the hadith is more aware and knowledgeable of the hadith than the person who didn't narrate it. Very important principle in the science of hadith, and also in usul al-fiqh, that the rawi, the narrator, is adra min lam yarwi. He's more knowledgeable than the person that didn't narrate of that hadith. He's a narrator. Makes sense. Right? He, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, Abdullah ibn Abbas addressed us in Al-Basra one day after Asr until the sun had set and the stars appeared in the sky. Follow me, brothers? I don't know if the sisters can hear. Listen to the hadith again. خطبنا ابن عباس بالبصرة يوما بعد العصر حتى غربت الشمس وبدت النجوم. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas. Who's the narrator of the hadith, brothers? For those brothers who are writing these things down. Who's the narrator of the hadith? Who is it? No. Who's the narrator? This is very important, brothers, that you know who the narrator of this hadith is. What was his name? Abdullah what? Ibn Shaqiq. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. You gotta remember this. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq is the narrator of the hadith. He said, Abdullah ibn Abbas addressed us one day after Asr in what city? Al-Basra.
Alright. Okay, you want it now, right?
It's in the Al-Iraq. Until غربت الشمس وبدت النجوم. Until the sun had set and the stars had appeared. Right? وَجَعَلَ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ. People started to say, As-salah, as-salah. Right? Right? فَجَاءَهُ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي تَمِيمٍ لَا يَفْطَرَّ وَلَا يَصْنِي. And then a man from the tribe of Banu Tamim, he came, he was really upset, and he wasn't playing around. He said, As-salah, as-salah. Right? فقال ابن عباس وابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما. May Allah be pleased with him and his father, whose name was what? Al-Abbas. Right? This is what Abdullah ibn Abbas said to the man. What man was he talking to? The man from Banu Tamim. He wasn't talking to Abdullah ibn Shafiq. Talking to the man from the tribe of Tamim, from Banu Tamim. Right? Banu Tamim. Banu Tamim is a tribe from what country? Basra is a city. What country? Al-Iraq. For our brother, Ali Tamimi, you know what country he comes from? Iraq. The Tamimis are from Iraq. Same people. This is his people. This is his people. Yeah. Ali Tamimi's people. That's right. Important to know this stuff, brothers. Believe me. You don't know how important this stuff is. This stuff is really important. To know these details. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, أَتُعَلِّمُنِي بِالسُنَّةِ لَا أُمَّ لَكَ. He said, you going to teach me the sunnah? You ain't got no mother. It's an expression that you haven't even been born yet. How are you going to teach me? How you gonna teach me? You gonna teach me the sunnah? You tabi'un and you gonna teach me the sunnah? I'm a sahabi. That's what he's saying, basically. How you gonna teach me the sunnah? I was there right there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the sunnah was coming down from the heavens. And you gonna teach me? I'm told you, man, of Quran. This is not bragging. This just shows that people who are ignorant and don't know what they're doing, they should shut up. This is what he's saying. He's not saying that you can't teach me. He's just saying be quiet because you don't know what you're talking about. I got this. You just stand back. That's what he's saying, basically. ثُمَّ قَالْ. Then he said, who said? Nah, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, huh? Because I said, then he said. And then he said, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَمْعَ بَيْنَ الظُّهْرِ والعصر والمغرب والعشاء. I saw with my own eyes in my head the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم combine ظهر والعصر والعشاء والمغرب والعشاء. I saw him with my own eyes combined. Right? قال عبد الله بن شقيق. Then عبد الله بن شقيق, who was who? The narrator of the hadith. Right? Say, and it's clear from this hadith that Abdullah ibn Shaqiq was a what? الصحابي. Yeah, Ibn Abbas addressed us. He was a tabi'i. Wallahu a'lam. He was a tabi'i. To me, it's clear that he was a tabi'i. Then Allah knows better. Then Abdullah ibn Shaqiq said, فَحَاكَ فِي صَدْرِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءِ فَحَاكَ فِي صَدْرِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءِ فَحَاكَ حَاكَ is the verb حَاكَ يَحِيكُ حَاكَ يَحُوكُ. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 40 hadith, anybody have 40 hadith here? You have one? Can you get it right quick? Get it right quick, inshallah. You don't have it? We don't have it yet, huh? Allahumma musta'an. A hadith, a masjid without 40 hadith is a masjid that has no library. And a library in your house, a house that has not doesn't have the 40 hadith in it, or Riyadh al-Salihin, the scholars of Islam say, is a house that is devoid and desolate. Now, Imam al-Nawawi, Imam al-Nawawi's 40 hadith. There's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, righteousness is that which makes your heart have tranquility. You have peace and calm and tranquility in your heart. And wickedness is that which your heart haka. It's saying haka fi sadrika. Huh? Oh. That you have some type of, your heart has some disturbance in it. It goes back and forth, and you don't want people finding out about it. Right? He said, فَحَاكَ فِي صَدْرِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءٍ. He said, my heart just didn't sound right. Alhamdulillah, this message is not devoid, he just brought the 40 hadith. Alright? Now we don't need it. He said, I had a problem with that. You know how you say you got a problem with it? Yeah, my chest, man, it wasn't right. I don't like it. I'm not bad. Hear what he's saying now. I just don't seem like it. Something's wrong. Right? فَأَتَيْتُ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رضي الله عنه. So Abdullah ibn Shaqiq said, so I went to Abu Huraira. فسألته. And I asked him. فَصَّدَقَ مَقَالَتَهُ. And Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه confirmed what Abdullah ibn Abbas said. You got the hadith, brothers? Huh? You got it? You sure? No, it wouldn't make the hadith mursal. No, it wouldn't make the hadith mursal because if a tabi'i is mentioning the hadith and he's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something, then that hadith is mursal. Because the tabi'i could not have heard or said or seen the Messenger of Allah do something because he came in a time period that's why he's a tabi'i, because he came at a time when he didn't see Rasulullah. There will be a missing link in the chain which means it will be a sahabi. This hadith is not Abdullah ibn Shaqiq saying that I saw the Messenger of Allah combine the prayers. He's saying Abdullah ibn Abbas was addressing us after Asr in the city of Basra until the time of Maghrib ended and the stars. Okay. So this hadith is not a mursal hadith. This hadith is actually an athar. This is an athar from the athar of the Sahaba. Alright? But where is it collected? Who collected it? I mentioned in the very beginning. Huh? Mentioned in the very beginning where the hadith is collected. Sahih Muslim. It's the Athar and Sahih Muslim. No, absolutely. That's right. But you have Athar in Bukhari and Muslim. Right, isn't it the Messenger of Allah saying it? This is Abdullah ibn Abbas addressing us in Basra after Asr prayer until the sun set and the stars appear. Right. Okay? Okay, we also have some other narrations that the Shaykh doesn't bring here in this section, that Abdullah ibn Abbas also said in Sahih Muslim, which is an ad. We also have the hadith, quite a few hadith, at least four that I can remember, haven't read it in a while, is in Sahih Muslim, where Abdullah ibn Abbas, at the best of my memory, said, we prayed four and four and three and four with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was no fear and no rain. There was no fear and no rain. Right? And the four and four means al-Zuhr and Asr, and the three and four means Maghrib and Isha. It says there was no fear and there was no rain. Since he says there was no fear and there was no rain, and you know when you combine the prayers, right? Which is during fear and rain and inclement situations. So he's telling you, if there was no, if we did it and there was no fear and no rain, then what was the condition? It's clear. There were no conditions. It was a regular day. Huh? At least once in your life you can do it. They asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, why did the Prophet do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why did the Prophet do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, أَنْ لَا يُحْرَجُ أُمَّتُهُ, so that his ummah will not be put in a hardship. The reason. Or, أَنْ لَا يَحْرَجَ عَلَى أُمَّتِهِ, another one, so that he wouldn't put a hardship on his ummah. That's the reason. There are some people who say that you can only do this once. You can't do this a lot. And there has some validity to this, and Allah knows best. But if a person is going to the mall, or they're going to the movie, وَلِيَعْضَ بِاللَّهِ, they want to combine their maghrib and isha, so they want to catch their flick, this is not permissible. Not permissible. No. Now this is not something I'm making up now. No, this is not, has nothing to do with making up. Alright? Nothing to do with making up. Some people say you can only do it one time because they don't have evidence of the Prophet and his companions, alayhi salatu wasalam, continually doing it. Alright? As for one who nama aw nasiya salah, as for one who oversleeps or forgets the salah, فوقتها عندما يذكرها, then the time is what? The time is when he remembers. That's the time. The time for him making the salah is when he remembers. فعلى ذلك اتفاق أهل العلم. And this is agreed upon by the scholars of Islam from the Sahih Hadith in Muslim from Anas. From who? Anas رضي الله عنه. وهي said, إذا صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا رقد أحدكم عن الصلاة أو غفل عنها فليصليها إذا ذكرها. إذا رقد أحدكم, إذا رقد أحدكم عن الصلاة أو غفل عنها فليصليها إذا ذكرها. Whoever goes, if any one of you goes to sleep, oversleeps from the salah, or he is neglectful of it, meaning he forgot it. He forgot it. Then let him pray it when he remembers it. So now, this hadith... Oh, you want to say something? Right? No, we're past that subject now. This is a different subject. You mean, should we pray to follow that sunnah? Sure. At least once in your life, you should combine the prayer. The Zuhr and the Asr. Or the Maghrib and the Isha. At a time, especially when you get some difficulty on it. Because the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion, when he was asked, why did Rasulullah do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives you some indication that you just don't do it for no reason at all. You do it when there's some hardship on you, so there won't be any hardship. You follow? You follow what we're saying? Just don't do it for no reason at all.
Yeah, if a man, if it's raining real bad, like right now, this is considered bad weather. This is considered bad, you know, this rain is really serious out there. There's flooding out there. Alright, hold it. So, that person, in actuality, would pray their Zuhr and their Asr, or their Maghrib and their Isha, at home. You're not going to combine them. You're not going to combine them at home. You're going to pray them in their time. But if they're at the masjid, right, like today, the sunnah is to make Maghrib and Isha together. And then go home. Then go home. And then instead of calling the Adhan, they used to make the the Mu'adhan would say, As-salatu fi rihalikum, As-salatu fi rihalikum, pray in your home, pray in your home, and the people wouldn't come out. There was no Adhan. They would hear that because of the mud or stream rain or whatever. They would stay in their home, the men would stay in their home, and they would pray the Salat in their home. If they were already caught in the masjid, they would pray the Zuhr and the Asr together, four rak'ah, one Adhan, two Iqamah. Or the Maghrib and the Isha together, three rak'ah and four rak'ah, one Adhan, two Iqamah. That's the way we do it. And they would go home. This is the sunnah of the companions of the Messenger of Allah during the time of the Messenger of Allah, while he was alive. وَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And he didn't find any problem with what they did. He didn't repudiate them at all. He didn't reject what they did at all. In fact, he did it himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alright? Now, the question. That was it? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, you better keep. Okay. So we mentioned... okay. Now, this comes back, this hadith, إِذَا رَقَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ غَفَلَ عَنْهَا فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. That in many of you oversleep or forget the salah with a valid reason, forget the salah, then let him pray it as soon as he remembers it. This hadith is the hadith that goes back to not praying in the prohibited time. This hadith, you have to now connect with those hadith of praying in the prohibited time. And this hadith, they call this this hadith is called Muqayyid. Muqayyid Makhsoos. Muqayyid Makhsoos. It's restricted with specificity. Specific qualities. Now, like the hadith of praying after Asr. At Salat al-Asr, that particular prayer, بعض العصر is مقيدة ومخصومة مخصومة not مخصوصة مخصومة بنزول الشمس مخصوصة لا مخصوصة okay okay as for the person who intentionally leaves the salat until time goes out or almost goes out, then he doesn't have any qada. He doesn't have any qada. There's no such thing as like making it up like that. He blew. That person blew. And this is the madhab of Al-Mansur and also Abu and also Dawood and Ibn Hazm and also a group of the Shafi'i scholars and some of the Hanafis. And also this is the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. The person who is amid, the person who intentionally lets the time of the salat just go by, then he has no qada. He has no what we call making up the salat. He's not excused, in other words. And this is the madhab of Al-Mansur and the Jama'at of Al-Muhaqqin. Also Dawood, who was of the Zahiri school, also Ibn Hazm, who was also of that school, the Zahiri school, also a group of the Shafi'iyya scholars, and some of the Hanafi, and also Shaykh al-Islam also had this opinion. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy on all of them.
Alright? Okay.
And that's the end of that.
I have a question now. Right. This is not for the person. The question is for the sisters who won't be, who can't, couldn't hear him. In fact, why don't you say it again?
The question I asked is for the person who can't hear Mr. Salah, can he make some extra sunnah and a waffle, and inshallah on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the sunnah and the waffle and compensate, they will compensate for the fard that he missed according to the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks. The first thing he looks at a servant is his fard, and if that's out of contact with sunnah, and then the waffle takes from that.
The answer to that question is exactly what you said. Except Allah knows best if this hadith can be applied to the person who intentionally leaves other sunnah. As for the person who, inshallah, maybe the person that's intentionally does salah, yes, this may be also for him also. Yes, the hadith is أول ما يحاسب به الناس أول ما يحاسب به يوم القيامة من أعمالهم أول ما يحاسب به الناس يوم القيامة من أعمالهم الصلاة. The first thing that the people are going to be questioned on or held accountable for, not questioned, held accountable for on the day of resurrection is their salah.
And then the hadith goes on
that Allah will tell to the angels, and Allah already knows, did he look at his salah, and if his salah, his part of salah was sufficient, then look at his nawafil.
And if he had his nawafil, et cetera, if he had any of those,
the tatawwu,
that's what the hadith says. The supererogatory prayer. And Allah will take from that, inshallah, the servant. Prayers weren't intact. ثم تؤخذ الأعمال على ذلكم. Then they will, that their actions will be taken from that. Allah knows best. The hadith is collected by Abu Dawood.
Okay, and we can go. Oh, and also from that, what you said, and may Allah reward you for bringing that up.
I mean. From that tells us that we should make a lot of nafil salah.
We can increase, you know, on the nawafil.
Because if we don't increase on the sunnahs and the nawafil, then we won't have anything to be taken from.
If our fard salah is naqisa, it is sufficient.
What's going to be left to take from?
It's like an auxiliary tank in your car. You know, some cars have two gas tanks. You know, your regular gas tank runs out. And when that runs out, or is just about to run out, the auxiliary tank takes over. Right? So if we don't have an auxiliary tank in our car going through this life, which is a sunan and a nawafil, then what will the angels be able to take from for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
For ourselves.
On behalf of ourselves.
Okay, we're going to end it here at 5:30, inshallah.
We're going to end it here. And we're going to put a due tape in. If there's no questions, inshallah, from the sisters upstairs, no questions from the brothers down here, we're going to start with the subject that we wanted to start with tonight, which is Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Imam al-Bukhari, which is another book that Imam al-Bukhari wrote. If there's no questions, inshallah, we don't want this tape to be mixed with that class, inshallah. Are there any questions from the sisters? Let's just wait maybe 2 or 3 minutes for the sisters to send something down. Any questions about the salah? Any questions? How many of the sisters? If there are no questions, please send a note down. Please send a piece of paper downstairs, Sister Singh. There's no questions.
And we can go on to the next topic, which is the book of Imam al-Bukhari called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And tonight's subject is sneezing and yawning. InshaAllah. Sneezing and yawning according to Islam. Sisters, questions? No questions, right, brother? Alhamdulillah. Y'all have any papers? In one of the Sadaq, is it possible to go upstairs and ask sisters? I don't know if the brother has a question. From Salama?
The brother has a question. He has a hadith here that says, وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العصر ثم دخل بيتي فصلى ركعتين فسألته فقال شغلت عن ركعتين بعد الظهر فصليتهما الآن قلت أفنقضيهما إذا فاتتا قال لا أخرجه أحمد ولأبي داود عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها بمعناه. Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to my house after offering Asr prayer and offered 2 rak'ah. Then I asked him about that and he replied, I was kept busy and failed to pray the 2 sunnah rak'ah after Zuhr, so I offer them now. I asked him, should we offer them if we miss them? And he replied, no. Reported by Ahmed, the version of, is reported by Ahmed, and the version of Abu Dawud by Aisha has the same meaning.
But what's, I don't, how?
I don't know if it's authentic or not, but if it is, what's the point though?
Oh, but we didn't say anything about making them up.
Today? Today?
You mean the last class? No, we didn't think about making up prayers. Not for prayers. We're talking about making up obligatory prayers.
There's no sisters up there? I heard somebody say.
Okay, what were you saying though? No, we didn't listen. No. We mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there's no salah at the salat al-asr except when the sun is high in the sky and it's white. We mentioned that one.
That's the only one we mentioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we do have another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, said there wasn't a time after asr that the Prophet came to my house except that he would pray 2 rak'ah. So this is another proof that you can pray after asr.
As for this hadith, this is talking about sunnah prayer.
He says this is unrelated to the subject that we were talking about, because we were talking about making making obligatory prayers or prayers out of necessity in the prohibited time. That was the subject. When the sun is high. When the high is high in the sky. When it's high in the sky and it's, the color of it is white, as opposed to when it's low in the sky and it's yellow. When it's low in the sky and it's yellow, it's prohibited to pray, and even then it's acceptable to pray if the person overslept or they forgot.
No.
When condition of the salah, the condition of the sun when it's high in the sky and white is before it's yellow and low. Why is it? I mean, it's clear. Logical.
Why would the condition over being high and white in the sky be before it's just low and yellow? Huh?
Why would it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, logically, not from the text of the Sunnah, logically, why would the sun being white and high in the sky be before it's low and yellow? Yeah, because it's giving it a set. The reason why it's yellow and it's low is because it's giving it to become mugger. You didn't have your thinking kufi, you just have a regular kufi to keep the elements off your head. And if you don't know you was a Muslim, you didn't have your thinking kufi on. No, we said that there are the opinion, the stronger opinion of the majority of the ulama of the four imams says it's obligatory. But bring the point anyway. According to those particular ulama that we cited, and I don't know if the brothers wrote it down, who they are. You wrote it down? No, that's something else. Al-Mansur and Ibn Hazm and Dawood, and it's part of the group of the Shafi'iyah and some of the Hanafiyah were the ones that says that the person intentionally make leaves of their salah, there's no qadha for them. That's who says that. Who was it that said that? Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik. They were the ones that said that the adhan is wajib to call the adhan. Huh? Yeah, but we're talking about what he said. Right. The one of the other reasons why they say that the adhan is obligatory is because there's a hadith in the Musannaf of Abdul Razak, which says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the meaning of it is when a person is in an ardh, when he's in a land, a desolate land by himself, then he should call the adhan. Because he doesn't know what of the creation that Allah created is behind, is with him, that's going to pray with him. Meaning, the angels and the Muslims from among the jinn. Let him call the adhan. Because if he, they come to pray with you, though. The angels come to pray with us when we pray. So if you're by yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, call the adhan anyway. Because he doesn't know who of the unas. One narrator says, the khalq, or the unas, the people from among the angels and the jinn are going to come and pray with him. And he's praying by himself? According to some of these ulama, he should pray, he should make the adhan. And Allah knows that. With that, inshallah, we're going to end and we're going to start the class on the etiquette of sneezing and yawning, inshallah. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.